Today I'm going to be preaching from Psalms chapter 103. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Psalms chapter 103. I'll be reading verses 1 through 5. Verses 1 through 5. The title of the sermon today is Don't Forget to Remember. Don't forget to remember. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. God's word says this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Let us bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, to be able to be in your house today and to be able to worship with your people, Lord. God, I thank you, Lord, for the day that we have to celebrate tomorrow, Lord, Memorial Day, Lord. And God, will many people see this as a wonderful day, God, for us to be able to sleep in a little bit or maybe have an extra day off, God. For those of us that have lost someone, God, it's a hard day. And Lord, so I pray for those families that have helped, Lord, as their soldiers have served, God, the families that have waited patiently behind, waiting for their soldiers to come home, Lord. I pray for all the active duty and those that have served and have given up everything, Lord, laid down their life for our country. God, it's a difficult life being a soldier, Lord, but you've blessed us with many to go forth and protect the freedom, God, that we have here in America. Lord, I pray, God, that you would help us to be soldiers, Lord. Not soldiers necessarily of the United States of America, Lord, but to be soldiers of the cross. God, you told us that you love us, that you would never leave us, that you would never forsake us. But then, God, you gave us a calling to go out and to reach and to seek and to save those that are lost. Lord, all those that are lost have not been found yet. The reason I know that is because you haven't returned, Lord. So send us as soldiers, Lord, to be in the Lord's army, God, to stand up for what's right when wrong is trying to prevail, to overcome Satan and all of his evil foes, Lord, to be able to overcome all the demons in the world, God, to be able to live for you, Lord. Strengthen us today, God. Help us to stand up for in your holy name, because in the name of Jesus, God, we can do anything. And so, Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for the work you're going to do in this service today, for the worship time we're going to have, and for the families you blessed us with. And also, thank you, God, for letting us be born in the U.S. of A. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Whew, tomorrow we celebrate Memorial Day. Boy, I'm excited about that. Anybody else excited about Memorial Day? What's the main reason you're really excited about Memorial Day? Be honest.
Celebrating what the soldiers have done for us.
That's what you're really excited about for Memorial Day? Well, praise the Lord, you know. Most people, if they were honest, they'd probably say, well, I'm looking forward to a day off. I'm looking forward to a day off. I'm looking forward to a barbecue. Looking forward to a family picnic. Those of you that like watching the Indy 500, you might be looking forward to that. Lots of things to look forward to tomorrow. But for those who have lost a loved one, it's more than just a day off. It's a day to not only mourn that person, but to mourn all those soldiers. Now, you may have not lost a loved one, or maybe you have. Maybe you've served alongside who somebody had passed away. I know Brother Larry had been in the Korean War. Larry, did you lose anybody that you loved fighting along your side?
Well, we didn't do, there wasn't much fighting in Korea. It was in Vietnam.
Yes?
I was during Vietnam. I had two buddies over in Vietnam.
Yeah.
But they made it back, but some of them guys,
yeah, that's tough. Tough for their families this day, I'm sure. What about you, Brother Ron? You had served too. We're over there in Vietnam, and all the people that you loved come back home with you?
No.
It's a tough time, huh?
Yeah.
Tough time. And so for those of us that have lost loved ones, ones that we care about, Memorial Day means a little bit something different. For those of us who have served in the armed forces, it means something a little bit different. I'll tell you what, I look at this flag a different way than I used to look at it. I look at it away with honor and respect that I don't see no longer just a flag that symbolized the United States of America. I see a flag that symbolizes the bloodshed that was taken for our country. A flag that symbolizes the freedom that our country stands for. The rights for all Americans, regardless of what color, what persuasion, what social class you are, what political class. I see a flag that stands for democracy. And I love that flag. No matter how beautiful it is, no matter how old it is, no matter how torn it is. And why do I love it? Because so many before me had fought for it. If you've ever served in the military, would you please stand at this point? Amen. Look at all these people. Look around. Give them a round of applause. You know, there's some things that these people have seen that you may never understand, may never experience, or may never be able to see in your life. It's a tough, tough life serving in the military. I praise the Lord for them. What if you had a family member that has ever served in the military? If you're a part of a family, of anybody in your family has ever served in the military, would you please stand? Look at that today. Almost every single person in here is standing because they know somebody or was a family member of those in the military. Let's give them a round of applause too. Praise the Lord. And while you're standing, I was talking about the blessing of being able to look at this flag. I think it's only appropriate today, on the day before Memorial Day, that we say the Pledge of Allegiance. You agree with that?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's put our hand over our hearts right now. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, Memorial Day started out as a neat day called Decoration Day. Every time I look at that, I think that's interesting because it started out decorating the different soldiers' grave back from the Civil War. The Civil War is probably one of the saddest wars that we've ever fought or had in the United States because really, we were taking on and challenging ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, over 498,000 soldiers passed away in the Civil War?
Yep.
Seems so senseless, doesn't it?
Yes.
So sad thing. That's how Memorial Day started out, is Decoration Day, with the ladies and the men going and decorating these different soldiers' graves. And then it kind of got expanded and it carried on forward to not just the ones who had passed away then, but even the ones that are passing away still today in honor of our freedom. So Memorial Day is a special day. And just like tomorrow, I hope you'll take some time out of your life to think about what those soldiers have sacrificed for you. I hope you'll also take some time to think about what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did for you too. You see, it's easy for us to forget things. When everything is going well, we can forget about someone. We can forget about how much they've helped us. We can forget about how much they love us. You know, when everything's going well, we can take people for granted. Has anybody ever taken somebody for granted here before? Yeah, it's pretty easy. If you come home every day and you're a man or a woman and you come home and your house is clean and your dinner is made and the dishes are washed and the grass is mowed and all the bills are paid, pretty easy to take the person for granted for some of those things. And sometimes we don't always say thank you or we appreciate you for what they do. We just kind of take them for granted. And it's important for us to be able to thank each other. Don't you like when people tell you thank you? Amen. I like when people tell me thank you too. And so David, in the scripture here in Psalm 103, he's given us some reminders of the great things that Jesus had done for us. Some great things that God has done for us. Things that we should be thankful for too. You can go to any church in America, I'm pretty confident to say this, that you'll see more prayers on their prayer request list than you'll see praises. Is that because we got more problems than we have good things that happen in our life? No, if we think about all the great things God does for us every day, I've said this the last couple Sundays, but it just hits me in a powerful manner. I mean, that heartbeat that your heart just took, that was from Jesus, a blessing. Without it, you wouldn't be here. The breath you just took, same thing. I mean, how many things does the Lord do for us that we take for granted, that we just don't appreciate it? So those are some of the things that we're going to talk about here today. The psalmist David, he is writing the psalm saying, Thank you to God for all these different benefits that God has given us. Thank you for the blessings. And he's expressing his thanks. So today I want us to think about what is the importance of remembering the great things that God has done for us. Remembering things is tough, though. People say as you get older, you start to forget things. Is that true? I don't know. Is it true?
Yes.
Yeah. What's the last thing you forgot? What's the last thing somebody forgot?
Don't remember.
Don't remember. Oh, man. They have a special walk, brother. We can go on. Well, we support the Alzheimer's walk, Brother Dave, and we love you, brother. But yeah, what's the last thing? I mean, me is my car keys. We have a dedicated bowl on a dedicated counter. When you come in, your whole job... See, I have my keys right now. Normally, they're in my drawer, but they're not supposed to be with me because I will lose them. I come home, and I put them right where they're supposed to be, and then life is good. I even have more than two sets of keys for everything I have, whether it's house, vehicle, shed, whatever. But you know what? Whenever I need the keys, can't find them. So guess who I blame?
Josh.
That'd be a good idea, but no, I usually blame Shannon, which gets me in a lot more trouble than blaming Josh. Yeah. But that's what happens. Honey, you must have drove that last. Where are the car keys? Well, you have an extra set. Where are yours? That's besides the point. So I forget my car keys all the time or lose my wallet. What does anybody else lose? Anybody ever lost their glasses before? I love when people lose their glasses and they're on their shirt or they're on their head. That cracks me up. But you know, that's why I don't wear glasses. I have glasses, but I sit on them all the time. And that's an expensive habit. Sitting on your glasses is not a good plan. What else have you forgotten in the past? Anybody forgotten an anniversary or a birthday? Boy, that gets you into some deep trouble, doesn't it? You know what I love is when a woman forgets her anniversary. That's the great news. Anthony, you ever had that problem, bro? All the time, man. Well, that sounds like good material for marriage counseling. Praise God. But yeah, we forget things. And as you look around, I mean, it's a normal thing, I guess, to forget things. I was looking, and there's this John Hopkins researcher. Her name is Karen Bola. And she did some research about the things that people often forget. Said the number one thing that people forget, 83% of people forget this, are people's names.
Yeah.
So if you forget people's names, you're in good company. So does 83% of America. 60% of people forget where something is. 75% of people forget why they went where they were going. That's kind of scary. 57% of America forget people's telephone numbers. You know, I bet that's a lot higher now. With these smartphones, I don't know anybody's phone number anymore. If it doesn't say Daryl or Ron or Stacy or something in my phone, I'm probably not going to know who you are. I mean, I'm thankful for smartphones, but they've also dumbed me down. I don't remember anybody's phone number now. And then 53% of people in America have forgot the words they were trying to say. You ever had that problem? You know what you want to say, but it just doesn't come out. Man, it's tough. Tough stuff. So the good news is, if you forgot any of those things, hey, so is most of America, so you're in good shape. You know, that's why we build monuments, to help us to remember things, right? But when I come in my house, I should see that nice little stand knowing that that's where Alan's keys belong. Right? And I do. I look at it and then I walk past it sometimes. But monuments, we erect monuments to remember things. In 2014, does anybody know what awesome monument we created in the United States?
No.
2014. Greatest monument, one of the greatest monuments. New York City finished building the Freedom Tower after the World Trade Center was attacked. And so the Freedom Tower is there, standing in awe of what took place at 9/11. Beautiful memorial to all those innocent lives that were lost. You know, here in 1989, Emporia did something pretty awesome. They created the Teachers Foundation, the Teachers Hall of Fame. One of the only ones, the Hall of Fame for teachers. It represents over 37 teachers in over, 37 states and over 130 different teachers. That's a lot of teachers, so I'm excited about that. Emporia also did something neat in 1991. They built that Veterans All Memorial. And that has veterans, all the different veterans that range from the time of, the Civil War all the way through the Gulf War. I looked everywhere, and their claim is they are the first in the whole nation that had done that. And Emporia, Kansas, isn't that awesome? Memorials are important. You know, God knows that memorials are important, so he's given us some memorials too. Anybody see that beautiful rainbow on Thursday? Boy, I was driving home from a church meeting on Thursday, and I saw that rainbow. You know, I shouldn't have took that picture while I was driving, but I didn't. I sent it out to the prayer list like, man, look at this great reminder of how God loves us and how he promises he will never flood the earth again, just like it says in Genesis chapter 9. Like, beautiful, all these years later, just such an amazing, gorgeous picture of a rainbow. He makes some other promises to us too, some other memorials. You know, like when we take communion. Communion is a memorial to remember of what Jesus had done for us, when his body was broken for us, when our sins were paid for. Communion's a beautiful thing. Another memorial we have is the Holy Spirit when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We have a teacher, a comforter, someone to work through us through all these different things. You're going to read about that in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Memorials are important. God knows that we're forgetful people, and we need reminders. And so that's what he's done for us. Praise God for that. It's important for us not only to remember the sacrifices that our soldiers made, but also remember the sacrifices and things God has done for us. So David in Psalm 103, here's what he writes. If you have your Bible, look back at these verses 2 through 4. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies." In a few minutes, we're going to look at each one of these verses. We're going to talk about them a little more. But before we do that, I've been talking about all the great things that God has done, the memorials and things like that. What are some great things God has done in your life this year? Who has something they want to share? What's a great thing God has done in your life? Yeah, Brother Mike.
Put Stacy in my life.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's a good thing. Yes, Jonathan.
He brought me back here.
Amen. We're glad to have you back, my friend. All right. Yes, Ariel. Yeah, face home safely from the military. No more Korean trips or any of that stuff. Praise the Lord. What's another great thing God has done in our congregation this year? Yeah, Jonathan?
I got a new place to live.
You got a new place to live. That's always good. Yeah. You know, another great thing, he took Ronnie and Connie's house. He sold it so they could be closer to their family. That's a good thing, right? Lorraine, same thing, sold her house so that she could have that weight off her shoulders. That's a good thing. Done all kinds of great things. Gave Sister Kylie a brand new teaching position. They're heading out to Dodge City to start looking for homes today, trying to find a new place to live as they start this new career in Kylie's life. So that's a great thing. But you know, God's not done with doing great things in our congregation. As a matter of fact, he's just starting. He's using our church to bring joy to people in the city of Emporia. Amen? Isn't that important? Yeah, absolutely. He's also using Brother Larry. I believe right now he's healing Brother Larry's seizures. Those problems Brother Larry has, I believe that God is already healing them as we're talking about it. I know God has the power. I know he's the only one who can do the healing. And I believe that Jesus is working on his heart right now. Another thing, Dave. He gave Dave another chance. Dave had his heart was working less than 30%. Got a couple stints. Now we're going to find out on Friday how good that thing is pumping. But praise the Lord, he's taking care of Brother Dave. You know, Jesus loves to take care of us. He loves to help us. He wants our physical bodies to do good. But even more importantly than that, he wants our spiritual bodies to be in good sense. So when David's writing this psalm, he's thinking about all the great blessings, all the great benefits that God has done for us. In verse 2 it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." You know, I was thinking, I started putting together a list. I thought, what is a benefit of being a Christian? Now think about that for a minute. If you work at a company, say a good company, what kind of benefits do you have, Bill?
Yeah, insurance.
Insurance, yeah.
Paid time off.
Paid time off, yeah, that's a good benefit, right? What's another good benefit of working at a company? Yep, Jonathan?
Paying the work, you get discounts.
Yeah, you get discounts on stuff. That's true. What, Josh? 401k, retirement. Good to be thinking about that when you're 18 years old. Yeah, praise the Lord. I wish I was when I was 18. Good idea. Keep that thought up, son. Good job. What's another benefit of working at a company?
You get a paycheck.
You get a paycheck. Yeah, you don't go to work for free, do you? No, you get a paycheck, yes. So what are some benefits of being a Christian? I mean, what are these blessings he's talking about? What are some benefits of being a Christian?
The peace that passes understanding.
Wow, how do you explain that one? Way to go, Arrow. Yeah, the peace that passes all understanding. This peace that in all these rough situations you go through, you just know things are going to work out. I mean, I don't know how to explain that any better, but that's got to be one of the greatest benefits. Sure. Bill, you said something?
Salvation.
Salvation. Yeah, you're saved. And what does salvation mean? Well, what are you saved from? From everything. I love it. Absolutely everything. Everything here on earth. Everything that would happen in our afterlife. Eternity. You have salvation, meaning that God saved us. I'm going to talk more about that in a minute. Jonathan, what's another blessing?
Knowing that God will never forsake you.
Yeah, knowing that God will never forsake you. You know, are people like that?
No.
No, but God is. He'll never forsake you. What's another benefit of being a Christian? A family, yeah, a family to come around and hold you and love you, encourage you, lift you up. So many different blessings we have as Christians. And so when he says here, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, he's talking to us about all these amazing benefits we have. You know, we have the creator of everything. He could have created you to look like anything. He didn't have to give you a brain. He didn't have to give you two arms. He didn't have to give you any of that stuff. He didn't even have to make you in his own image. He could have made Ariana look like a snail if he wanted to. You know? Could have done that to her if he wanted to. He could have turned me into a frog, and I'd have to wait for Shannon to come kiss me until I turn into this beautiful prince that I am today. I think I need more kisses, right? I'm not quite beautiful prince yet, but I'll get there someday when I get that new heavenly body. But yes, all these great things God does for us because he loves us so much. Then it continues. Listen to what it says here. In the second verse, or verse 3, it says, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. I love this verse because I don't know about you in your life, but there's times I need to be forgiven. Amen. Anybody ever done anything they need a little forgiveness for? Yeah, we don't have to share all that dirty laundry today, but praise the Lord. We know if God is talking to us right now. Verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. It doesn't say he forgives a few of your iniquities. Isn't that good? Because I don't know which ones I'd pick. I don't. I've been in so much trouble. I don't know if he said I'm only forgiven the top five. I would have used that up by the time I was 3 years old. You know what I mean? But it says he forgives all your iniquities, every single one of them. He forgives them all. And not only does he forget them, he washes them away as if they've never happened. I love those commercials about the stains on the shirts. You know, they put that new stain on the shirt and they wash it in some detergent and it magically goes away. Isn't that great if you think about that's what your Savior does for you that Bill was talking about. You love him, you believe in him, you've asked him for forgiveness, he takes those sins and boom, they're gone. Like they were never there before. That's how he loves us. Don't you wish more people would be like that?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So Jesus, he doesn't hold things against you anymore. Then it continues and it says something else here. It says, who heals all your diseases. Now you might be thinking, well, hold on a minute, Pastor. Have you looked at our prayer request list? Look at all this stuff here. Look at all this stuff here. He heals all diseases? Well, we got people recovering from surgeries. We got people that have had brain bleeds. We have people that are in ICU. We got people who have cancer. I mean, he's going to forgive all those things. He's going to heal all those diseases. Yeah, I believe it. I believe it because the Bible says it. And if the Bible says it, God's word is true. It says it doesn't lie. If he's going to heal your disease, he's going to heal them. Now, some of them may be healed here on earth. Others may be healed in heaven. But you know, we as people, we are so focused on our physical bodies. We're so focused on our physical problems to be healed that sometimes we miss out on the real problem, which is the eternal problem of healing. Amen. Bill was talking about that Savior thing. I want to dig into that for a little bit. Savior. And so what Jesus is the most important, most worried about, most concerned about, is not taking care of our physical bodies, although those are important to him. He's more important about figuring out this disease that every one of us has. And it's sin. This thing that's in our life that eats us away. Brother Darrell gives a great example. He says, if you had cancer, and they said, you know what, I could do surgery on you. I could remove all your cancer. But I'm going to have to leave one cell in there. Would that be okay with you? No, because that one cell is going to multiply, and before you know it, it's going to eat you up. You need to get all that cancer out. And so what Jesus says, he says, I take away all your sin. They're all gone. And so he's focused on our eternity about sin. You see, the Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Isn't that a humble saying right there? All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Then in Romans 6:23, that's another verse. Sometimes you wish you could chuck verses out of the Bible, don't you? Don't you? You wish like you could just, let's just not highlight that one. Do we have to have that one in there? Because I hear people that come around all the time and say, you know what, Pastor, you don't understand what happened to me. I just want what I deserve. I just want what's coming to me. I say, oh, do you now? Yeah. All right. Will you read this little verse for me here? Romans 6:23. Sure I will. The wages of sin is death. Oh, that's what you're looking forward to, brother? Oh, well, that's not exactly what I was talking about. Well, hold on a minute. Let's back up to that Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You want what you deserve. You want the wages of sin or death. Is that what you're looking forward to? Well, that's not really what I want. Was that what you want for that other person that you're mad at right now? Well, no. Well, what is it that you really want? What is it that we really want? We really want grace, don't we? Mercy, forgiveness, those are the things we want. The disease Jesus really wants to save us from, more important than cancer, more important than diabetes, more important than heart problems. The real problem he wants to solve us from is from sin. He wants to take that out of your life. He wants to get it out. And you know what else? Jesus isn't the only one who wants sin out of your life. Your wife wants it out of your life. Your husband wants it out of your life. Your kids want it out of your life. Everybody wants sin out of your life. The only thing is, Jesus is the only one who can heal you of that sin. He's the only one who can forgive you of that sin. See, the Bible is real simple. You want to get saved, you want to get healed of the most terminal disease there is, all you have to do is believe in Jesus. That's it. It's so simple. It doesn't mean you don't have to change 400 tires. You don't have to help 100 people across the street. You don't have to make dinner for all the homeless people in New York City. Those are nice things to do, but you don't have to do all those things. What you really need to do is just believe in Jesus. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says it like this. It says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Simple. For it's with your heart you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and you are saved. You see, don't make it any more complicated than it is. Don't let the devil trick you into making this thing complicated. It's not. But you know what is tough about it? It's deciding to make that decision in your heart. Like I've said many times before, everybody wants to be saved. If you're drowning in the ocean, you want me to throw you a life raft. But everybody doesn't want a Lord.
Everybody wants to go to heaven, but they don't want to die. I swear.
That's right. How else are you going to get there, brother?
Exactly.
You see, people don't want a Lord. They don't want anybody that they have to listen to. They say, I'm an adult. I'm not listening to anybody. I'm not putting anybody first in my life. I'm going to do what I want, live my life the way I want to live it, and I want to go to heaven too. What do you think about that, Jesus? Yeah, wrong answer.
There we go.
Oh, you want what you deserve? Here you go.
Enjoy it.
But you see, it's simple about giving our lives to the Lord. Then verse 104, or verse 4 of Psalm 103 says this, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. You know what happens when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? He redeems you from everlasting punishment. He redeems you. He protects your life. Right here, the scripture says he redeems your life from destruction. How many people know bad decisions lead you to bad things? How many people still make bad decisions? What is wrong with us? You know? But isn't that the truth? We know it's not the right thing. We know it's going to take us to a bad place. Here we are. Sign us up. I'll try it out. Before you know it, you got an oil filter wrench shoved in your hood. Right, Ariana? Yeah, see what happens? I mean, tough stuff happens to us. We got to deal with these things. But Jesus says, look, I came to redeem your life from destruction. I came to crown you with loving kindness and tender mercies. That's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to stay on that narrow path. He wants to keep us there. And the only way we can do it is by putting him not just to be our Savior, but also to be our Lord. Kind of reminds me of that song in our hymnal, Jesus Saves, you know. I have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. You know that song? That's the truth. He wants to save us. He wants to save us. Every time we end up in the ocean, he's like, here's another life preserver. When is this guy going to learn he can't swim on his own? Here's another life preserver. You know, we keep falling in there, but he wants to save us because he loves us. And he wants to save us not just from disease here on earth, but for eternity. You know, if you don't get anything else out of the entire message today, I hope you get this. That Jesus is right here for you right now. He knows who you are. You can't trick him. You can't. The other thing is you can't hide from him. Amen. Anywhere you go, he's there. Uh-huh. You can run and you can hide in the closet and be real quiet. And nobody else might know you're not there, but he knows you're there. You can go to the bathroom and he hears you. He knows what your attitude's like when there's no more toilet paper on the toilet paper roll. He knows. Jesus is everywhere. You can't hide from him. And you know what? Even though who you are, he still loves you. Isn't that amazing? You know, whenever my wife gets mad at me, I'm thinking about telling her she should act more like Jesus. You think that'll work out good for me? Think that'll work out good for me? I have funeral services following today. But it's serious. I mean, Jesus loves you for who you are. You don't have to pretend. You don't have to hide. He says, I just love you for who you are, man. I just want to make you a better person. There's a lot of people in our life that tell us that, but he really means it. He says, come the way you are today. I'm going to help you become better. And you say, well, what do you want from me? Nothing. He says, I just want your love. That's it. And he gives you so much love, you don't know what to do with it because you're not used to that kind of love. That's what Jesus wants from you. He knows what's on your heart today. He knows the hurts and the pains you have. He knows the silly things you said, the silly things you did. And he still loves you. He knows the convictions you have, the needs you have. All he wants you to do is come talk to him. That's it. You know what? Americans spend thousands and thousands of dollars going to talk to psychologists. I believe there's a place for everyone. But wouldn't it be neat if instead of spending those thousands of dollars, you just came to Jesus first? Just said, Lord, here's my problem. I love you. I need your help, God. Let me hear your voice. Show me your guidance. Wouldn't that be amazing? That's what Jesus wants to do for you today. One more thought and I close. Memorial Day is a precious day. That's a day we set aside and we think of all those people who have served for us. We think of all the people who have sacrificed. We look at the flag and we think about all the wars that were fought. And as a dad, I think about that call that could have came to my door that my daughter would not come home. That's a humbling, humbling thought. And as hard as it was for me as a dad to sign that paper to let my daughter go off and do the same thing, now I understand how hard it was for my mom and my dad to sign that paper when I joined too. They too could have received that call. And while we didn't receive that call, there are a lot of people who have. So as you're enjoying your day tomorrow, you're enjoying your picnic, your time with your family, your day off of work, sleeping in. Know that somebody paid the price for you to have that day. Know that there's probably some families out there in our community that are hurting because they lost somebody that they loved. Remember the cost and the price for the freedom that we have in the United States and pray for them tomorrow. And also remember what Jesus did for you. He did what the American soldier couldn't do. He gave you freedom from sin. He gave you eternal life. Whether we like it or not, the only way to graduate from earth is to pass away. Unless the Lord comes, we all get taken up in the rapture. But before then, only way is to go to heaven is to pass away. And Jesus is the one who made that path so that we could get to heaven. It couldn't be made by the American soldier. Couldn't be made by your mom or dad. Couldn't be made by the President of the United States or by the Pope. It's only Jesus. So tomorrow, as you're remembering those soldiers, also remember what Jesus did for you. John 3:16, simplest verse ever, but most powerful meaning. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I can't imagine my son having to pay a sacrifice for a bunch of people that would spit on him, that wouldn't love him, that would turn their back on him and hate him. That's what God did for us. He gave us his son. According to scripture in Psalm 103, here's the things Jesus done for you. He's given you blessings. He's given you benefits. He's willing to forgive all your iniquities. He's willing to heal all your diseases. He's willing to redeem your life from eternal destruction. And he wants to crown you with loving kindness and tender mercies. What more could you ever want this Memorial Day than to think about what the soldiers have done and what Christ has done?